Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and State PC's preparation. In a historic turn of events, the Constitution 131st Amendment Bill has been defeated in the Lok Sabha, marking the first time in 12 years that the Modi government has failed to pass a constitutional amendment bill. This significant development has sent ripples throughout the country, raising important questions about federal equity and the representation of states in parliament. The bill, which proposed to expand the Lok Sabha from 543 to 850 seats based on the 2011 census and to operationalize the Women's Reservation Act 2023, received 298 votes in favor and 230 against, falling short of the 352 votes required for the special majority under Article 368. The centre subsequently withdrew the accompanying delimitation bills. This defeat is a testament to the depth of federal equity concerns of southern and northeastern states, which have been vocal about their opposition to the bill. To understand the significance of this defeat, let us delve into the constitutional framework that governs amendments to the Constitution. Article 368, which deals with the procedure for amendment, requires a special majority in each house, comprising more than 50% of the total membership of the house and 2/3 of members present and voting, as well as ratification by at least half of all state legislatures. In the case of the Lok Sabha, with 543 members, 50% of the total membership is 272, and 2/3 of members present and voting is approximately 352. The bill received 298 votes, clearing the absolute majority bar but failing the 2/3 of present test. This means the bill was defeated on its very first hurdle, even before the state ratification stage could be tested. This defeat matters constitutionally because it illustrates the genuine federal architecture of our country, where special majority and state ratification requirements are not formal procedures but binding political constraints. It also demonstrates that interstate political coalitions can defeat central majoritarian moves, particularly when southern, northeastern, and regional parties combine on federal structure questions. Furthermore, it highlights that constitutional amendments are not technocratic, but rather political acts that require genuine interregional consensus. So, why did the opposition coalesce against the bill? The answer lies in the North-South demographic divergence. The bill proposed seat allocation based on the 2011 census, which would have resulted in states with higher total fertility rates, primarily in the Hindi belt, gaining disproportionate seats, while states that successfully managed population, such as Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, and Telangana, would have lost proportional representation. This is the core federal equity grievance that drove the opposition to the bill. The 42nd and 84th Amendment Acts, which froze seat allocation based on the 1971 census, were intended to protect states that succeeded in family planning. The 131st Amendment sought to use the 2011 census, bypassing both the 1971 freeze rationale and the 2021 census, which remains unpublished due to COVID-related delays. This move was seen as an attempt to undermine the federal equity principles enshrined in the Constitution. The opposition parties, including southern parties like the DMK, AIADMK, BRS, YSRCP, JDS, and KCM, opposed the bill on federal equity grounds. The Trinamool Congress, Samajwadi Party, and NCPSP opposed its citing process concerns, while the Congress opposed its citing both federal asymmetry and procedural hest. Regional parties from the Northeast, such as the Tipra Motha and NPP, opposed it on representation concerns. The DMK, in particular, orchestrated cross-regional opposition, recalling its 1976 stance on the original delimitation freeze. The census timing anomaly also played a significant role in the opposition to the bill. The 2021 census has not been published, and using the 2011 census for a constitutionally significant exercise occurring 15 years after that census, while the 2026-27 enumeration is itself underway, was widely criticized as a procedural anomaly. The defeat of the 131st Amendment has significant implications for the Women's Reservation Act, 2023. The Act provides for 33% reservation in the Lok Sabha and state legislative assemblies, but its implementation was conditioned on the completion of delimitation after the next published census. With the 131st Amendment defeated, the centre has notified women's reservation in Jammu and Kashmir and Puducherry UTs separately, but national-level operationalization continues to depend on the 2021 or later census and delimitation cycle. Effective implementation may now be deferred to the 2029 general elections at the earliest. So, what happens next? The government may choose to reintroduce the bill in modified form, using a different formula, such as capping seat additions to maintain proportional representation, or using TFR-adjusted population. Alternatively, it may wait for the 2021 census publication before reintroducing the bill. Another option is to pursue state-by-state assembly delimitation first, which is a politically lower-stakes path. The government may also consider seeking a constitutional reference to the Supreme Court under Article 143 for interpretation of Article 81-82. In terms of political pathways, the government may engage southern chief ministers in formal consultation, similar to the Panchi Commission approach. It may also build cross-regional consensus through a joint parliamentary committee before reintroducing the bill. The 16th Finance Commission devolution debate, which has explicit population equity adjustments, could be used as a parallel federal bargain mechanism. The broader federal lessons from this episode are clear. The Sarkaria Commission and Panchi Commission both emphasized that federal restructuring exercises require institutional consultation, not majoritarian imposition. The Lok Sabha defeat reaffirms this constitutional wisdom. The Interstate Council, constituted under Article 263, is the formal forum for center-state dialogue on contentious federal questions, and its underutilization in pre-bill consultation contributed to the political failure. Comparative federalism also offers valuable insights. Other federations, such as the United States, Australia, and Germany, face similar tensions between population-based representation and equal state representation. The Indian challenge is unique in scale, with 28 states and significant regional variations in population growth and political mobilization. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The Constitution 131st Amendment Bill proposed to expand the Lok Sabha from 543 to 850 seats based on the 2011 census. The bill received 298 votes in favor and 230 against, falling short of the 352 votes required for the special majority under Article 368. The centre subsequently withdrew the accompanying delimitation bills. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? This topic is relevant to the Polity and Governance section of the UPSC syllabus, and understanding the constitutional framework, federal equity principles, and the implications of the 131st Amendment defeat will be crucial for answering questions on this topic. In conclusion, the defeat of the 131st Amendment Bill is a significant development that highlights the complexities of federal equity and representation in India. As you prepare for the UPSC exam, remember to focus on the constitutional framework, the principles of federalism, and the implications of this episode for the country's polity and governance.